There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Touch Jones Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
It's a flesh wound.
It is but a flesh wound. Should I show my scabby knee on the webcam? This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I, for the moment, am Dutch Jones, and thank you for tuning in. We're trying to use the video broadcasting software today. You have ManyCam back up? Can you scroll? Have you tried to scroll? Or will it kick you off? Lou's a little afraid to try that. Lou, give me a sound check over there. We're using the new soundboard. Say, hello, my name is Lou.
Hello, my name isn't Lou.
It isn't Lou? I can barely... What? Hello? I turn the knob up and he speaks softer. He's just trying to annoy me more. We've got the new soundboard today. after yesterday, hopefully we worked out the bugs with the phone. I think that was just Olima's phone or something because we got a call later and it wasn't too bad. But I apologize if we have any problems today. We're still working it out. I want to thank whoever it was that made a $50 donation to the PayPal. That was great. We now have $94 in PayPal, and that will cover the internet satellite fee, so that's good. But we still need more. We still need to reach out and get more. So whoever did that, thank you. Stacy knows who did it, but she's not in the room right now. When she comes in, I'll ask her to check her email to see who was that donated. It is, just for those people that are podcasting, the pod people, this show is September 9th, 2010. September 9, 2010. It is 5:04 p.m. Pacific time. We are coming to you from the center of California, right outside the gates of Sequoia National Park, as we say. It's just another beautiful, muggy little day. You'll notice if you're watching, I'm a little shiny in the camera. It is kind of hot today. We took the extension cord out for the fan and forgot to bring it back, so we don't get the fan today, so it's going to sound a little better. We're using the extension cord to recharge the batteries on the 4Runner. We're going to try and get that thing running again. Struggles of life, isn't it? You know, the Lord only allows us one car at a time to run, and now the starter is going out of the other car that we're driving, so... And it's like back and forth, back and forth. Nice cloudy day. About 10 minutes before we got on the air, Debbie came in the room and pointed out that we had deer looking in our window. Sure enough, looked out, and there was about a 1 or 2 year old buck. I don't know how you age him, but he had spikes for his antler assembly. And he was actually leaning up to look in the window. He was staring right at me. And then Lou came at him from the right side of the window and scared him. And there was a doe and a couple of does and a baby. Just looking right in the window. I love it. And right now I'm looking at about 6 or 7 wild turkey, not the alcohol, the actual wild turkey, wandering through the bottom part of the cemetery right next to our church. It's beautiful up here, folks. I encourage you to Google Earth us. The church at Cahuilla, California. The zip code here is 93237. 93237. And you can see the area. You can actually see the building we broadcast from on there. Now, I don't know what time of year they took those pictures for Google Earth, but right now it's everything's brown except for where we irrigate, where we water. The trees are green. The oak trees are green, of course. But we've got excuse me for yawning. We've got about 3 foot high brown grass where it's still standing, and the rest is all laying down where we weed eated it. And it's just beautiful out here today. The cloud cover most of the day. We got some rain last night. Although I slept through the rain and the thunder and everything, everybody else told me how great it was. I woke up, I could still smell the rain this morning, though. That was great to finally smell rain and have October-type weather. It's probably 65 to 70 degrees here today. It's supposed to get back into the 80s tomorrow. That's okay, as long as it's not 110 like it was this summer. It's nice to have a seasonal change. And I know the rest of America is suffering from, you know, floods and tornadoes, but we're just blessed here. We were talking today to the pastor about coming up with a threat assessment for natural disasters, and there really aren't any. We got flash flooding.
Fire
We got wildland fires and forest fires, because we're kind of in an interface between the forest and wildland. And what else? That'd be it.
We had a huge earthquake in the Earth.
Yeah, unless we had a biblical level earthquake or something. But I look back in the records, there haven't been any major earthquakes here, in, you know, that are on record. We've got to worry about flash floods. Unless it's a great big flash flood, we're up high enough on the banks away from the river. That, in fact, we're on a raised hill right here, so we'd probably be okay, at least historically. I don't think this building's ever had water touch it, and even in the 1960s when it did flood down along the river. But just a good place here, a really good place to come and settle down. I'm glad we're here. Hopefully you folks that are coming out, I did get an email from some folks that are coming out for the conference. I'm really excited. And I need to remind you guys that there is a $50 registration fee, but what you get for that fee is you get meals Saturday and Sunday for lunch, and if you come in on Friday night, we're going to have a spaghetti dinner. The ladies are going to put together a spaghetti dinner, and we'll watch some movies and stuff. So you get that, you know. So if you bring a family of 10 people and you're paying, you know, $50, what a deal. But we've got to have a head count. So I think we're coming up on the deadline here. I think in a couple days, the deadline for, what's the word I'm looking for, it may be coming up to pre-register. And then after that, but I don't know if there's a penalty. I don't know, but I have to check that out and make sure. It doesn't say anything on the flyer, does it, Lou, about when you have to have your registration in? Check it out, Lou. But we're getting close. I mean, here it is. We're less than a month away now. You know, it's October 2nd and 3rd, and here it is the 9th. And before you know it, it's all going to be gone. You got to make your plans. Figure out how you're going to get here. You can sleep on the property, just tent camp. Oh, I know what the deadline was. The deadline is coming up on Saturday for getting your reservations in for the hotel to get the reduced rate. And it's in there. Isn't there something about the Comfort Inn or something like that? What's the name of the hotel, Lou? Comfort Inn, the local Comfort Inn. If you plan to stay at the hotel, you got to get your reservations in. $85 a night. Other than that, you'll pay full price. It's still $85 a night. I mean, I'm glad they're giving us that discount, but it's strange and sad that's the economy we live in. Just bring a tent. This is good training, people. This is about the militia. This is about resistance to tyranny. This is about roughing it after the collapse. It's about us facing the enemies of the Lord and the enemy of the Lord's people. Don't stay in a hotel. You know, look at this as an opportunity to rough it a little bit. I mean, if you're elderly, sick, or injured, or you normally live as a lumberjack and you want to be luxurious while you're here, I understand that. Yeah, don't start singing the lumberjack song, Lou. Let's see, who do we got in the chat room today? Not very many. We got Warlin and Olima and me and Lou and a guestie, 86610. It's a lovely name, guest 86610. I think that was my mother's middle name, 86610. If you register, you can post a name and you can chat and, you know, you can reply back to me making sarcastic remarks about your number. I want to thank the people listening on Facebook. I've been getting all kinds of input from the folks on Facebook even before we went on the air. I'm getting more IMs now. Let me click over there. Most of the comments are about Pastor Jones refusing to burn the Korans tomorrow. He's made some kind of a settlement with a local imam in Florida, and they're going to go to New York. And I guess one of the reasons he's doing this is he doesn't want that mosque built on the 9/11, you know, Ground Zero, whatever you want to call it. So they're going to go and talk to the imam that's building it and try and get him to stop, because, you know, now he's not going to burn any of those things. Let's go ahead and turn the camera off since we don't have that many people watching. I don't have anything to show. I just wanted to see if it would work, if the camera would make us. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm waiting for it to... You turn it off?
Yeah.
Okay, let me pause mine here. Good. Boy, I'm getting all sweaty. I didn't want him to see me wiping my sweat off with this dish towel right here. You did turn it off, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to check to see here. Let's see if you're telling the truth. Buffering. Okay. I don't trust you. Oh, he's flicking stuff. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about a couple of other different things unless we get booted off. You know, technology fails us. I did get some mixed messages about this guy. Like, I was trying to call Terry Jones, the pastor down there in Gainesville, Florida. Phone's off the hook at his house, his business, his church. His website is down. business websites down. He doesn't want anything to do with, you know, with the press, obviously. And almost 99% of what he's getting has been hate mail. You know, even the President of the United States, even Hillary, all those people are slamming him. We sent him an email. We did find an email for him. It was info@doveworld.org. And we wanted to... where'd that little fan go? I wanted to turn the fan on because I'm dying over here. Where'd the fan end up, Lou? You don't know. It's right there on that chair. Go grab it on that chair. We're going to put it on me because now I can't handle the heat. And every little bit of discomfort I have takes away from the show. I need to be fed grapes and fanned by Nubian slaves. No, not Nubian, but you get the idea. Plug it in over there and point it this way, Lou. It is a lot muggier today. But he backed out of it, and a lot of people are calling him a quack. They didn't like the attention that he brought to the cause. They didn't think he was going about it the right way. I asked our pastor about it. He said, well, it's not something he would do. But here's my opinion. My opinion is that they kill Christians every day. They burn things in effigy. They burn the American flag, which I could care less about the American rag flag. But they kill missionaries every day all over the world, Muslims. And my attitude is, why are they getting upset about us burning some paper? And they're willing to kill people over that. It just shows the savagery of their viewpoint. People can burn the Bible all day they want. I'm not going to shoot them. I pity them because I know they're going to burn in hell for what they're doing, but I'm not going to kill somebody for that. It's not like, but if they were burning Christians or missionaries, yeah. So you see how quickly they go to blood on this thing. Somebody sent me a really funny song. We wanted to play it, but it just, the guy's voice was so distorted because obviously they don't know who it was, but it was a song called It's in the Quran. And it just goes through, you know, kind of in a funny, catchy song with a distorted voice on the things that the Quran tells Muslims to do, and they were all pretty violent. Lou's having a heck of a time here. He has to get down on his hands and knees, crawl under a desk. All this just to plug in a fan for me. Wow. Talk about suffering for your art. Now, ladies, that chair squeak. That's not really a chair. That's Lou's spine. Okay, turn it on. Set it right here. Wow, it hums. Do you hear that, guys? Do you hear that hum? Set it right here. No, at me. Lou's all pointing it towards him. Let's tilt it up. Oh, okay, now I feel like I can do the show. Oh, yeah. I don't know how bad that is, guys, but I need it. The humidity here is just driving me nuts. I wish it would just rain and get it over with. Just pour. I need my cars washed. I wash my cars when it rains, whether they need it or not, as they say. But the anti-Muslim leader of the tiny Florida church backed off his threat to burn the Quran, diffusing an international firestorm Thursday after he said he promised that a planned Islamic center and mosque would be moved away from New York's Ground Zero. Now, the imam planning the center said he's never heard of this agreement. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So I don't know if this guy just chickened out or he's hoping that they'll do it because of this. Now, the Reverend Terry Jones has been under intense pressure to abandon his plan to burn the Quran on Saturday, the 9th anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terrorism attacks.
I put a link to his
website. Even though it's down?
Yeah, it's an archive.
Oh, the archive. You found an archive for his church?
No, there's a website.
Okay, now, okay, so is the site up?
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it?
Too long.
Oh, it's too long. Well, you should be in the chat room, folks. If you're in the chat room, you'd see the post to go to this guy's website. Now, the Terry Jones has been under intense pressure, to put it mildly. Now, I know that Robert Gates, the defense secretary, you know, the head goon in charge of where we send our mercenary goons, actually called him personally, which is funny because his phone won't stop ringing busy. Now, standing out his 50-member Pentecostal church, the Dover Outreach Center, alongside Imam Mohammed Musuri, the president of the Islamic Society of Central Florida, Jones said he relented when Musuri assured him that the New York mosque would be moved, making promises he can't keep. So the name of the place is the Dover Outreach Center. See if you can find a phone number for that, Lou. That is the one we called, and it's still not answering. What's the number here? Let's give it a try. Let's see what we can do here. You want to bring up the number? Tell me when you bring up. We can't call long distance out on this line. Because too many people abused it. We have a long distance block on the library here. Never mind. Well, if you're listening, call me. I sent him an email. Actually, I dictated an email to Lou and had him tell him that we do support him. We're going to go ahead and burn some pages from the Quran anyway. If only to make me feel better and not to back down like everybody else does. Now, Jones has never invoked the mosque controversy before in this, so I don't know why he is now. A lot of people are saying he's kind of a nut, kind of a quack, so maybe they're telling the truth. Maybe he really just is just doing it to get publicity for his church. I don't know, but I don't see why anybody would want to get this kind of negative publicity. And he just buckled after, you know, getting so much hate and discontent thrown at him. And to me, it's sad. I think if you're going to say you're going to do something, unless the Lord himself comes in and tells you not to do it, you should do it. Now, it says, here's his exact quote. "We are canceling the event because we have agreed. I take him at his word. He has agreed to move the Ground Zero mosque," Jones said. "I verified that 3 or 4 times with witnesses. I trust that man who gave me that. I believe he is a man of integrity, a man of his word. I do not believe that he lied to me." Actually, he needs to read the Quran. Muslims are allowed to lie to Christians and Jews and Gentiles, and there's no punishment for it. So why would you take the word of a Muslim to stop you from doing something like that? Now, whether he does it on September 11th, maybe he'll find out these guys are lying to him, they're still going to build that abomination there. But I don't know why he's buckling. This is the problem with Christians. We're too nice. We say we're going to do something, then we back off. It's like training your kid. If you keep saying, I'm going to spank you, and you never spank him, the kid's going to learn. You're not going to spank us. So we can do whatever we want. You're never going to punish us. Sure, you'll yell at us. You'll send me to my room, but you're never going to spank me. And the Muslims know this. They've known this for years, that we Christians always, as a whole, buckle. I mean, look at the Pope. You guys who love the Pope, you cat lickers out there, you bead counters. I mean, he meets with Islam and says it's a religion of peace. And Bush did the same thing. So, you know, you can get as mad at me. I know we have a Muslim president. I know that. But throughout history, Christians have always buckled. Even during the Crusades. I mean, you had a few dedicated people that went and slaughtered the Islamo-fascist threat. But usually capitulation was the way to do it. In their minds, they would trade, use a Hegelian dialect, and so that's why this battle still goes on. And you're gonna, you know, I know what you're saying. Well, you don't even support the war in Afghanistan or Iran. Well, that's because we're not intellectually honest about why we're fighting it. We're fighting it for oil and for corporations. We're not fighting it because Islam is the enemy. George Bush had it right for about 10 seconds when he used the word crusade. But we know it's all a manipulation. And they'll never be honest in why we send our best and brightest to go bleed on foreign shores. I've got an article today where I can get to where American soldiers were just basically murdering people they wanted to for fun in Afghanistan. We don't battle righteously, so we don't win righteously. That's why there's no end to this war. We didn't win in Iraq because we're always willing to compromise what is right. Because we don't even start from a position of correctness, of godliness. So how can anything that stems from that be correct? So this guy, he was looking for an out, it sounds like, Pastor Jones. I still say that I supported him, his initial, you know, burn a Quran. Why not? Let's send a message the other way. I've gone as far to say from this microphone that we need Christian jihadists. And I'm not talking suicide bombers, but people have the dedication, the training, the integrity and the intensity of a jihadist. We can respect the good things in our enemy and deplore the bad things in our enemy, but one thing I can tell you is that your average Muslim on the street is willing to do far more for his faith than 90% of the Christians in America. We ridicule those who try. I mean, look at this guy. He stood up and he said, hey, sure, it's a small thing, symbolic, and I'm not big on symbolism, but they're burning our people and our books and our flags and effigies of our leaders. Why not give them a little of their own medicine and see what happens? And the whole world comes unglued. Not the Islamic world. They reacted exactly like I suspected they would. But the Christian world, the political world, the so-called patriot world goes nuts. I got people saying, well, we didn't need quacks like this in our movement anyway. Actually, I'm thinking we need a few more quacks to push the envelope a little further. We need a little good old-fashioned rioting in the streets to send a message. Otherwise, they just don't take us seriously. They know that we're all talk, we're all fluff, we're all paper tigers. Very few people I've met back up what they're preaching with actions. or plan to back it up. There are some people that haven't struck yet, but I can tell by the way they're making plans that they're legit and that they're doing the right thing. And it's a shame this guy got thrown under the bus so quick that he quit. You know, he's a flash in the pan. They'll move on next week. Unless, of course, he realizes he's been lied to and then he goes and does it anyway, or he does it secretly in the night. You know. Putting his candle under a bushel, as it were. Bushel basket. So, yeah, I'm disappointed that he quit, but I wasn't that too excited about it. I thought it was a great idea. I'm still motivated about the bacon bit story yesterday. Let's hurl bacon bits at mosque properties. Let's do something to strike back. Don't go out and slap people around and kill them. Don't stab cabbies because they tell you they're Muslim, but do some stuff like this. Stuff that means nothing to you, but means everything to them. I don't get upset when I see people burning the American flag. Or like when the Mexicans were trampling on it in Arizona. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. That's just a little spoiled child striking out. But it's funny how this guy just poked a hornet's nest, didn't it? And not among the Muslims, but among so-called patriots and Americans and Christians. You know, that they were you know, calling for his, you know, hanging and everything just as much as the Muslims wanted him beheaded. And because the Muslims told us, you do that, we're going to kill Americans. They're going to kill Americans anyway. Yeah. They're going to kill Americans anyway because that's the way the scheme was set up. Whack the hornet's nest called Islam, the gutter religion of Islam, and they'll come back and kill Americans so that American dictators can get the legislation they want. Are you really surprised by that? Do you really think that this guy burning the Quran is going to cause more death than is coming down the line? Sure, it may be compacted and they may wave the banner of this guy's name, but the truth of it is they're going to kill all non-Muslims anyway. That's their goal. So whether they do it today or 6 months from now, it doesn't really matter to me. And Americans are the worst because we've been really protected from it for whatever reason. But go to countries where they're killing people every day, like the Philippines, Indonesia, places where people are just being taken hostage and beheaded. No, not Mexico. That's a whole different deal. But where Muslims are in charge. Although the Muslims have decided so far to not stone that adulterous woman. I still say, where's the adulterous man? But they're backing down a little bit. Iran is saying they're not going to do it. They'll probably do it in secrecy. They don't want the UN getting mad at them and giving them more sanctions. But when you look at both sides, who has the most guts? Who does what they say they're going to do? Who is more dedicated to their cause? But Dutch, that's not fair. We're Christians. We play by different rules. Do we? Do we really? When our faith and our people are threatened, are we supposed to just buckle and go, oh, you know what, that's not the PC thing to do, you're right. Just because my enemy's a savage, you know, I have to give him every benefit in warfare because I'm not going to fight like that. Just because we fight like savages doesn't mean we're savages. Anything we can do to hurry this to a head, however the New World Order wants to play this out, we select the tempo of the battle. We're winning. If we just sit back and let the New World Order conduct these incidents the way they want them to, we're at the mercy of their plans. But when free radicals, if this guy is indeed a free radical, jumps up and does something to agitate the Muslims a little more, sure. It's like what's going on in Los Angeles right now. They arrested more people rioting last night over this Guatemalan being shot. I actually heard a woman on the radio today saying, and I almost switched gears here a little bit. She said, that police officer should be charged with murder. He shouldn't even be allowed to have carried a gun. Okay. So now they want to disarm the cops. I know he wasn't doing the right thing being drunk with a knife and jabbing it at the cop, but the cop should have just let him do it. Insanity has taken over. Life's now a circus, and the clowns are running rampant. That's that song, The Lunatics Have Taken Over the Asylum. It's true. It's what's happened today in America, and we see stories like this as indicators of it. And we do everything we can to prepare and be ready for the day that it boils over. We just, oh, hello, Minuteman. I saw you got in there. Scotty's in there. I was away. I was reading news articles. There comes a time in a movement when people have got to just realize that we can't worry about what our enemy thinks of us. We just got to keep doing what's right and do what's right for our side and for our people and for the fulfillment of our destiny. If we sit around worrying about, we don't want to make Islamofascists mad. We don't want to make federal agents mad. You know, I mean, don't go overboard, but don't cease from telling the truth. The Quran is a piece of garbage and should be burned. And people who follow it are either mindless zombies or dangerous terrorists. I don't see any difference. Of course, I don't know a lot of Muslims. You people could probably say, oh, you shouldn't say that. There's good Muslims. Okay. Let them denounce what's going on in the world in their name and let them convert. I'm not the one that made the rules up. Jesus Christ did. So if you belong to some religion that says Jesus was just a man or a prophet and he wasn't the Son of God, that's not me making up the rules. I'm just reinforcing what I've learned from the Bible. And you compare the Bible to the Quran. Nowhere in my Bible does it tell me to kill you if you don't believe. But open up the Quran. See what it says about non-believers. What was it? Surahs 3 through 9? 2 through 9? Read those. Surahs 2 through 9. Just sit down and read them online if you don't want to spend the money. Wow, I need a good yawn, so it's a good time for a break. I'm Dutch Jones. You're listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. When I get back, I'll give out the phone number, the emails, the website, so be ready with your crayons. And if you want to contact us, you can do so. We'll be back after the break.
In the news of the battle, not an officer lost, only one of the men. Mourning out all alone, a death rattle. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. All quiet along the Potomac tonight, where the soldiers lie peacefully dreaming, and their tents in the rays of the clear autumn moon, and the light of the campfires are gleaming. There's only the sound of the lone sentry's tread as he tramps from the rock to the fountain and thinks of the two on the low trundle bed far away in the cot on the mountain. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. His musket falls slack, his face dark and grim, grows gentle with memories tender, as he mutters a prayer for the children asleep, and their mother may heaven defend her. The moon seems to shine as brightly as then, that night when the love yet unspoken leapt up to his lips, and when low murmured vows were pledged to be ever unbroken. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Then drawing his sleeve roughly over his eyes, he dashes off the tears that are welling, and gathers his gun close up to his breast, as if to keep down the heart swelling. He passes the fountain, the blasted pine tree, and his footstep is lagging and weary. Yet onward he goes through the broad belt of light, toward the shades of the forest so dreary. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. Hark, was it the night wind that rustles the leaves? Was it the moonlight so wondrously flashing? It looked like a rifle, a merry goodbye, and his life's blood in ebbing and flashing. All quiet along the Potomac tonight, no sound save the rush of the river, while soft falls the dew on the face of the dead. The picket's off duty forever. All quiet along the Potomac tonight. All quiet along the Potomac tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Obey me! Obey me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
A new world order.
Attention!
New world
order.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
O Lord, bless this thy hand grenade, that with it thou mayst blow thy enemies to tiny bits in thy mercy.
I like it when you do that, Lou. I think I want to move my mic here a little bit. I'm going to rotate it. It only goes halfway. Squeaky, squeaky. Welcome back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It's 5:35 p.m. Pacific Time on September 8th, 2010. If you're one of the pod people listening to this download, it's not live. However, if you're listening live, you can give me a call. The number to call in is 559-561-8225. Area code 559-561-8225. Not sure if we have all the kinks worked out, but we were 50% for yesterday. We had one phone call was good, the other one kept breaking up, and I didn't really do anything. And Lou's threatening me with a paperclip, so I'm sure it's his fault. Why were you threatening me with a paperclip? Is that your prison shiv that you learned how to make?
I didn't
know. Oh, you didn't learn how to make it, you just made it? He jammed a paperclip down into an old pen body, and now he's ready to go to town on me. I'll have to roll up one of these newspapers or catalogs over here and defend myself. Melt it down. Well, folks, if you're just tuning in, I see we got some new people that dropped into the chat room there. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We bring to you the Christian militant worldview. As far as I know, nobody else is really doing this. There are people that mix it, but I have more gospel than militia, but sometimes more militia than gospel. But overall, if you listen to all the shows, which I encourage you to do, to go to the archives, which you can do from dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. And it says listen to past shows. I'm not sure if PAST is it? Or would it be PASSED, like past? I don't know. We had to ask some grammar people about that. And you can listen to other shows that only Ma has loaded up. I encourage you to do that. You can also find our email there, but our email is Dutch Jones Show. That's DutchJonesShow at yahoo.com. So that's good. You can at yahoo.com, Dutch Jones Show at yahoo.com. You can email me. One of the best ways is to look for us on Facebook. I'm getting tons of input from Facebook because we've implanted a player there. And people who go to our page can just click on that and listen. Now, we're also on MySpace, but I don't get by there very much. And I apologize to my MySpace listeners. It's just Facebook is so much easier to use. Instant response. I can keep track of people. Excuse me, from my past. And that was just a yawn. I don't know what it sounded like, but I'm tired today. We did a bunch of stuff this morning, and I still haven't recovered from going on vacation. And immediately following the show, we have to go somewhere to visit somebody. So I'm just like, oh, all I want to do is lay down, put my feet up, watch some bad TV that Lou's recorded off the internet, and enjoy life. But no, the calling always continues. People that need ministering to in our community, and I'm honored to be able to do it. But I am tired. I'll tell you the truth, I'm very tired. And you can tell, yesterday I was all fired up and ready to go. Today I'm just like ready. Give me a blanket, a warm glass of milk, some cookies, and I'll take a nap. We cleaned the studio out. People are saying when we did have the video on, it looks more like a studio. Well, it's because we actually got a lot of the junk out of here. We have our little teeny tiny soundboard now. It's working pretty good. Highly recommend it. They had it at Best Buy in the music department. Stop yawning back at me, Lou. Every time you yawn back at me, it sends it back over here, and then I got to yawn again. Look away. Look away. When you yawn, stick your head below the computer. Yeah, yawn away. Yawn away. Look away. Stupid Yanks. Isn't that what the words are, Lou?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I was in Dixie. Away, away. Stupid Yanks. Well, I got an update from Chuck Baldwin. I'm going to talk about that now. I did put a little bit in there in the chat room, our link. Not a little bit. You can go to the link and you can read it for yourself. And let me go back to that. Here we go. As you know, last week Chuck Baldwin decided, well, I don't know if he decided last week, but he announced last week on his decision to round up his kin, some supporters, and move to Kalispell, Montana, because he thought the government was falling apart. He wanted to be someplace where he can help rebuild a nation. And I, for one, am glad he's moving to Montana. I mean, I know it's far away from here, but it's a lot closer than Florida. And I've told you he's one of my top three people that I would follow into battle. If they were to put out a rally cry, I would follow them against the northern aggressors, against the federal government, not just northern, the federal aggressors. It's not about geography now. It's about ideals and ways of thinking and not thinking. So this second war of federal aggression has already started. It started as soon as the last one stopped. But men like Chuck Baldwin are putting themselves out there. Definitely. And that's what I called for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. I said I'd like to see Chuck Baldwin do something that's more than just from the pulpit. So he put out, man, I don't know what it is. You guys know this if you listen a lot. I get these like apnea things or something where I just start yawning and can't stop. Let me try sitting up. Maybe it's this chair is too comfortable. I have to get another one. I had an uncomfortable chair in here for a while. I have to get the uncomfortable chair back. But he got a lot of responses to his announcement. Several from Montana welcoming him. He said actually hundreds from Montana. But he actually got a lot of emails from people, and I'm not going to read the letter, but saying that he's an idiot, that he's stupid, that he's bailing out, that it's not the Christian thing to do, that he's talking bad about the government, all that kind of stuff. And that he should, you know, stand and fight, you know, in his church but not in the streets, that kind of stuff. And instead he chose a state, which I can't think of a state better than Montana, where the elected officials there are, you know, refusing tyranny. And he's catching a lot of garbage for it, and he's gotten a lot of emails for it. So I encourage you to go to ChuckBaldwinLive.com, ChuckBaldwinLive.com. That's ChuckBaldwinLive.com. And just look for his latest little sermon announcement thing that he came out with and read it. And at the bottom, I'll give you his email address here. I want you to send him words of encouragement if you feel so moved. Okay, where is it here? I always have trouble discerning. Okay, it's Chuck at ChuckBaldwinLive.com. That's easy. Chuck at chuckbaldwinlive.com. Send him an email. Tell him you're coming out to the conference in October and you look forward to hearing him. Tell him that you support his move and that you honor and respect his leadership, seizing leadership in his own family, in his own clan. That's clan with a C, not a K, in case Nicholas is listening. I don't want to offend the old woman over there at First Amendment Radio. Actually, I do. I wouldn't have called him an old woman. See? I'm not above that. But Chuck Baldwin deserves our praise and our support. There is a biblical doctrine of flight. He's not technically running away from anything. He hasn't started yet, but he's preparing. And we're all called to prepare. I want to know what your opinion is. I mean, do you feel the inkling to move? I do and I don't. It's funny because I'm where I need to be. I'm already with a group of people that are doing the righteous thing, be it small, a small group, but we're in a good place. And for right now, serving the Lord is paramount among most of the people here. It's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Trust me, it takes a lot to get me out of bed in the morning lately. But if called upon to go to Montana and it was a clear-cut calling, I would do it without thinking past a few days of prayer. Let's put it that way. You know, I wouldn't just spontaneously fill up my buckets of stuff and go, but I would be wise about it. And are you guys getting that inkling? Are you being called somewhere? Or are you just itchy and you don't know where to go? I want to know what you guys are thinking. I've given out the phone number. It's Luke can put it in the chat room again. 559-561-8225. And, you know, praise the Lord if the phone works. I'd like to know what you're thinking. Are you thinking of moving? And then the other side of it, why not? Why are you staying put? Why are you staying in the cities? I'd like to know. I want to know if you can convince me why it's a good idea to stay in a city right now. I mean, I was talking on Facebook to some people, Boulder, Colorado, which is a bastion of liberal libertarianism, and it's under fire, literally on fire right now. And I believe that is the wrath of God, and they've lost several homes. A few people have disappeared. But the place is just, and like I've said on Facebook, it's all the patchouli and hemp oil catching fire. And all that granola that they have stored up there. It's very flammable, those oily nuts and stuff. Colorado went for Barack Obama. So did California. I'm not saying there aren't bastions of wisdom and intelligence in Colorado, but Boulder definitely is the darkest of the dark holes in the Rocky Mountain region, and they're being punished. But those people that are there, you know, this fire is taking its toll on them. Not one of them was prepared for fire. If they had been, their houses would have been saved. Not saying that innocent people didn't suffer, but you get my point. You stay in these dangerous areas, you don't surround yourself with like-minded people, and then you may be caught up in God's wrath. Yeah, you may. Biblically sound doctrine. You may not be with them, but you're definitely not against them. You know, you can stand in the gates and scream all you want, but if you stay in Sodom or Gomorrah, you're going to suffer the same fate. So I'm curious as to why you haven't moved, why you haven't left, why the majority of people in America still live in cities. Now, is it financial? Do you have the job that you can just never quit? Are you upside down in your home and all those things? Is that what's important to you? Is it more important to you to have a good credit rating or that your children live in a free nation? I tell the story often here. My greatest fear, my greatest nightmare that I have frequently is that one day my children and their children will be huddled in a basement somewhere, you know, warming their hands around a little survival fire, hiding while troops hunt them for what they believe and what they practice as far as their faith. And they're going to look at each other, and their kids are going to look at my kids. My grandkids are going to look up and say, Mommy, Daddy, why didn't Grandpa and his generation do something to stop this? That is the one thing alone that motivates me in the earthly realm. That scenario right there. People I may never meet because of how I die or how I live or where I live, mocking and questioning my activity now because I had a prime time to strike, a prime time to take action. That's why I do the radio show. That little moment right there is the earthly reason that I do the radio show. So that Lewis and Anthea won't have to explain to their kids why this generation was a bunch of cowards and idiots. No matter how much we struggle, it may still come to that. We don't know what God's plan is. But the longer you live in the cities, the longer you surround yourselves with the enemy, day by day, your chances diminish of survival. Just getting out in a regular crime riot may have nothing to do with philosophical viewpoints, may have nothing to do with your faith, faith of others, may not be international terrorism, may just be crime. Maybe the utilities get turned off because of the heat or lack of funding from the municipality. Every day that you stay in those places, you destroy your chances of resisting tyranny that much by an incremental effect. And by doing so, you endanger the future liberty of your offspring. The liberty of your future offspring is another way of putting it. You may not even meet them. So I don't know if it's cowardice, selfishness, overly comfortable. That's probably most of it, because that's the way they planned it. You can get people to do more of your bidding by keeping them overly comfortable, fat, and stupid than you can by torturing and punishing them. And most of America's so-called Christian patriots have fallen prey to that quicker than they'll ever fall prey to torture or concentration camps. Why do they need to build concentration camps when you'll huddle around your TV and your computer the moment you get off work and just believe the lies? Why do they have to worry about feeding and clothing you all in a central location when you isolate yourself in your house already? Why, I tell you. I ask you. They don't. They don't have to crank up those camps. They don't have to get the ovens going. Because you're obeying. You are a willful accomplice in your slavery every day that you stay in these municipalities and play their games. You believe in their 401ks. You buy into their investments. You allow them to have access to your accounts. You allow them to rob your legacy by taxing your property. Now, I don't know if Chuck Baldwin's going to move up there and become a completely off-the-grid guy. We're going to try. Pastor already told me today he's going to give him all kinds of stuff on why, if he goes there to start a church, don't do another 501c3. If we can get Chuck Baldwin to do the free church movement up there, if he just starts out of his house, I don't know what his plans are. We're trying to find out. That would be the greatest thing ever, to have someone of that caliber accept the fact that going to Caesar to teach the gospel is a sin. I hear excuses every day. Oh, but my parents went to this church. Are they teaching the righteous gospel, or are they just tickling your ears? Oh, there's just nobody here. There's no militias. There's nobody nearby, so I might as well just stay here and stick it out. I've actually heard that more often than not. I'm like, you're telling me because there are no allies in your area, you might as well just stay there? It doesn't even make logical sense. It's illogical on its face. And sadly, I've heard even more terrifying stories of, well, my spouse doesn't believe in the cause, and she's tied to her family here, and we have kids. I have no advice for that, because all that does is break my heart. My family broke up, and I fell where I did, guided here by God. So I can't advise anyone to divorce. Just keep educating your spouse. And usually it's the woman who doesn't buy into it. I've had a few women, in all the time I've been doing this, maybe one or two women whose husbands were the wimps. So what's holding you back? When you sit there and you pray in the morning, you know, with your private time with the Lord, what deals are you cutting? Oh, Lord, if you just get us through this next year, if you keep our mortgage from going upside down, then I'll start looking for a place with other people. I'll go in. It reminds me so much of when Moses got to Israel and they sent in the spies, not Moses, but the Israelites got there, and they sent in the spies, and like 10 of them came back, oh, it'll never happen. They're too big. They're too powerful. And two of them came back and said, oh, we can take them. Now, were those two guys stupid? No. They'd been through a lot already. They already knew the caliber of their abilities. But those 10 were weak. They'd rather run and hide in the desert than seize the land that God had given to them. And I see that happening today, not on a massive 144,000 Exodus level, but family by family, person by person. The Lord is telling us to seize the moment. And so many of Americans, so-called patriots and Christians, are just turning their heads and going, oh no, I'm not ready. How much more do you want? What sufferings did the founding fathers undergo before they decided? And we've far surpassed that. Seizures of lands, the murder of children, the institution of unlawful and unrighteous laws. the takeover of our church by corporations run by the government? What more are you waiting for? And they're saying, well, Dutch, you're sitting up there on your hill, and we're ready. We're waiting for the clarion call. All I'm asking you to do is to be ready to be in the same position. I'm not saying go out and do something stupid. But you're not. If the call went out today, it would be 6 months to a year before we could mount any kind of counterattack if we were to be attacked by our own government. Because people just refuse to train together. People refuse to collect the raw materials and equipment that they need to be a viable defense of their families. I got the same problem here in Central California. All the militias are running around like chickens. Not with their heads cut off, just chickens. They don't want to get together and train together. They don't want to even talk to each other because they're so paranoid about infiltration. They go to the range, they shoot a few holes in paper. They don't even want to listen to this show because they think I might say something that is so offensive they don't want to be associated with it. I won't go as far to say cowards, but they're like a bunch of chickens because chickens can be fierce. You know, go to a cockfight. Watch chickens, what they do if they get offended. So they're not cowards. They're just focusing their energy in the wrong directions. They're happy living in a pen, pumping out eggs for somebody else to take. So when I say chickens, it's well thought out. It's not just meant the wimpy part of it. So I don't think a lot of them are wimpy. I think a lot of them are tough. But they're scared into their own enslavement. Oh, I got a message coming in on Facebook. Let's take a look at this. See what I got here. What do we got? Bada boom, bada bing. It's somebody saying that it's sad that Chuck isn't Christian Identity. See, I disagree with you that. I'm not sure why so many of you Christian Identity people like me. Johan, I'm glad you're listening, but I'm not Christian Identity, and I don't believe in the dual seed line. I don't believe that Satan, the fathered all the blacks and Mexicans, all that. I just don't believe it. There's no evidence for it. There's no evidence for your upholding of localized flood or any of that. So I'm glad you're listening. But I don't think it's sad that Chuck hasn't embraced the dual seed line theory of the Israel identity stuff. And hopefully, I know that there's a lot of you folks that think that way up in Kalispell. We have a lot of listeners in Kalispell. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure he doesn't fall in with you guys, because I don't want him falling into that false teaching. And if you're offended by that and you don't listen, I'm sorry. I think you should keep listening. But there is no way in the world I'm going to embrace Christian Identity. That's just the way it is. And hopefully when he goes up there... And I don't think that's what he's doing, because I've sent him emails about it before, and he didn't even seem to understand it, or he'd never heard of it. And hopefully he'll pay it the attention it's due and just brush it off. Every Christian Identity person that comes by here, we give them the scripture, we attack their teachings, and they usually get upset and leave. Or they just get this blank look in their face. Like the last one, he came up and he says, I'm in the tribe of Daniel. And I go, really? Yes, I'm Christian Identity. I'm in the tribe of Daniel. I said, how do you know that? He goes, well, I said, when Titus destroyed the temple, he destroyed all the lineage records of all the tribes. From that point on, there's no way you could know that you're delineated from the tribe of Daniel. Daniel, absolutely no way. He just got this really contorted look on his face and walked away. And that was an easy one. That one was real easy. So, what's going to take... Yeah, that was kind of a little sideline there. But thank you for... I appreciate you giving me, comment like that. I do enjoy the comments. I'm looking back at the chat room. They're just kind of listening intently. I see Scotty put up Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay. Love the law of God, not the law of tyrants. Moreland is saying that today he got PG&E wants to put a smart meter on his power box. Those of you that don't know what a smart meter is here in California, they want to put this digital transmitting system on your house so that they don't have to walk up and look at the meter. They can remotely sense how much electricity you're using. But the problem is, everybody who got one of those put in, their electric bills doubled and tripled. Guy that goes to our church has a pump, and there's a little bit of drain just for maintaining, control surfaces and things in the pump house for his agricultural endeavor. And, you know, he would pay a couple dollars a month for it, and it was just enough to keep circuit boards energized and maybe a light. They put in this smart pump, the first bill he got, and he had not pumped one drop of water. It was $1,200. That was Pete and Ed. $1,200 for something that was just a 40-watt bulb and a circuit board. And when he protested, finally they came out and said, oh, there must have been something wrong. Then they said, well, your other meter must have been broken, and you probably owe all this back stuff.
Oh, no.
So these smart meters, it's been going on and on. The state has okayed them. They've told us, I was having a problem when we had the bad water heater, and our bill went from like $40 to $300. We thought it was, you know, something wrong with the meter. They came out and said, well, we're going to go ahead and put a smart meter on here. I'm like, no, you're not. They said, well, it's allotted for it, because what they're doing is they're cutting jobs. They don't want to have that guy in the shorts or that lady with the little boonie hat coming around and reading your meter anymore. They want to drive down the road or maybe even fly a drone over, I don't know, and just pick up the signal. So it's another level of tyranny here in California, but I don't think it'll come out here in the country where we're at, although they're doing agricultural ones. But my attitude is if it can transmit a signal, because it's a smart meter, it can be jammed. And it can be manipulated. And so be looking for stuff on the internet. If you get that, Warland, you put a little transmitter on it that says that you're only using $5 of electricity. And yeah, I think the signal can be blocked. If you block it, they're going to come up and read it manually, make them get out of their truck. But I'd rather send a signal that shows you're only using, like, nothing. You've got LEDs in all your rooms, and you heat your house with wood or something, tell them. Wow. We're going to come back after the break. I don't know if we're going to be up on Liberty Tree Radio today. I don't know if we were yesterday. But if we are, we got to find something to talk about, folks. I've got articles. I've got stuff I can talk about. But I miss your calls. I know it's annoying that the phones don't work. Maybe over the break we'll test the phone. So we'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Remember to check out the website. Remember to check out just check out the website. Check out the church's website. Check out the links. Oh, yeah, Rocky, give me a call. Let's see if the phone works. Call me on the break. Talk to you later. Bye. Lou, can you switch it to stereo mix so that if Rocky calls, we'll leave that on? It's about the Constitution, about Washington, D.C. Still in there. God and country, about our liberty. It's about our independence. It's about the IRS. It's about our right to bear. Play a commercial after the song. Peace and happiness. Will you be respond at all anymore. There's a bunch, I don't know if you know, but there's really people bagging on London. Is he calling? Stand among the brave. in the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel
in. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is an emergency.
Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones
radio program. And now for something completely different.
They can think I went nuts, Lou. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. I want to welcome our Liberty Tree radio listeners who are joining in right now across the globe. I want to welcome our Facebook listeners, our U-Broadcast listeners, people who are listening 12 hours later, or what is it, not 12 hours later, it's more like 14 hours later on the Watchman broadcast, the rebroadcast that's done over there at watchman.org, or we forgot where it is, just Google Watchman, Patriot Radio, you'll find them. And we've understood that we're being put out on shortwave, CB radio, channel 2 in the Finger Lakes region, thanks to Scotty 38. And, of course, the pod people, those wonderful, dancing, happy pod people. We have more pod people than we have regular live listeners, and we do appreciate you. We get emails all the time from across the United States and to a large extent across the globe. We haven't had anybody from China chime in. I don't know if I offended him with my bad Chinese accents or something that we've done here, but we seem to have not had the feedback. We may not have lost them as pod people, but we do have pod people. Thousands of downloads each month, and we do appreciate that. And if you're saying, well, what's a pod person? Well, if you go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk, right at the top, there's a place that says listen to past shows. And we don't know if that's grammatically correct yet. We have to figure out, is it P-A-S-S-E-D, as in like past the bar, or past as in, you know, travel into the past, P-A-S-T. And you can click on those, and there is a, what's the word, an archive there that is hosted by Olima, and she keeps, very good record there. There may be some missing because of all the problems we've had technologically, and she has a life too, so we appreciate every effort she puts forth. We know that it increases our listenership, I'd have to say, tenfold, at least from the U broadcast standpoint. I never keep track of how many people are listening over on Liberty Tree Radio because we lack the bandwidth to jump into their chat room. When we used to do that, it would take us a down. We can only have the two computers on, one on they're both on U broadcast. Now, where I get to watch and look at the chat room, so we don't want to leave you guys out. And thank you very much. And I do appreciate feedback. If you want to give us feedback, the best way to do it is simply email us at the show, DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. Make sure you spell Jones, J-O-E-N-S. People have asked, what is that? New listeners, why are you spelling it weird? Why'd you move the E? It's Dutch. My real name is Dutch. It's like Van Hoogelhorgen Fleckenstein. I'm a Jewish Dutchman. And Lou added the Steen on there one day, and it just made me laugh. But two reasons. One, I do this as a nom de guerre. Make it a little easier for me to have some anonymity and make it a little harder for the enemy. And quite honestly, my name in Dutch means like booger eater or something along those lines. People make fun of it, and you know, and since a kid I've been getting into fights over it. So I don't use my, you know, Van blankety blank 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 name. And also I have an evil ex-wife that's trying to prove that I'm a secessionist who deserves not to see my child. So this makes it a little harder for him to find me. Which, you know, it's in God's hands. I know that. I trust in the Lord. But Jones, J-O-E-N-S. Now, you can also find out about the church from that website. Just look for the Church at Kuia link. You can find Chuck Baldwin's website through there, which we've been talking about, Chuck Baldwin's decision to move to Montana. Tell you what, there's the two states that I would move to right now, both of them start with M, Montana and Michigan. You know, my friends in Colorado are probably going to be mad, but I would love to be in Michigan just from the stuff that I see that's going on there. The number of listeners. We have listeners from Michigan that are active in the militia that have absolutely nothing to do with Mark Kornke's movement. And I'm not diminishing Mark Kornke's movement, Liberty Tree Radio over there, but he's not the only one up there. The folks in northern Michigan have got it going on. And I really admire that. So we've got groups of people that listen to this show, and I said, well, haven't you heard about Mark Kornke? And they're like, huh? And these are usually people through Facebook. They're late comers to the dance. I don't mean to insult you guys. I mean, I'm considered a late comer to the dance, having started in the 90s. I mean, even though I say I started in the 80s with my uncles with the Freeman and Posse Comitatus and all that stuff that I did in northern Colorado. But really dedicated wasn't until I got out of the Army in the 90s. And we've had callers of the show that have been doing it since the 70s. But it's you know, Michigan would just be a great place. You know, you got the wooded areas, you've got the terrain, you got the water. Same things with Montana. I mean, I like where I am in California because the Lord has led me here. And I will stay here until the Lord leads me somewhere else, or God forbid it's my turn to martyr here. You know, Fox is looking for a few more pages in his book. I hope not, but I'm not going to deny the Lord's calling on me. But I would love to go to Montana. So Chuck Baldwin choosing to go to Montana, you know, it broke my heart that he didn't choose to come to Kuia, but I don't think we were ever on this top 10 list just because we got that big CA after our name, you know, California. And, you know, we wear that around our necks like a dead chicken around a bad dog's neck. It's no matter what we do, we can't get rid of the fact that we're in California. That doesn't mean that we should be ignored, though. I got to move the fan. It's starting to make my throat go sore. Yeah, put it on you, Lou. Put the fan on you. Excuse me, folks. I need to take a drink of water here. Good, good, good. We tried to use the phone during the break, and it didn't work. It's almost like it spikes and then cuts out, and then it's weird. We got to do a lot more work on it. But if you do call in, if you feel an urge to call in, what we're going to do is just hold the speakerphone up to the microphone. That's how we did it in the old days before we got this fancy schmancy phone box. Excuse me. Man, I should have gargled during the break. Give me some salt water. But that's what we were talking about. Michigan, been there, done that, don't miss it. See, it's funny, no matter where we pick, I don't know where you're from, Carla, but thank you for joining us. There are some people that it's kind of like the grass is always greener attitude. Where would you go? I've had people call me from Idaho that go, I can't wait to get out of Idaho. And I'm like, huh? You know, I loved Colorado. I never should have left it. But the Lord led me here. And as far as I can tell, there's not a whole lot going on in Colorado that I would be involved with right now. So who knows where we're standing. Where are you, Carla? I'm just curious about that. Wondering where you put down roots. And thanks for listening, though. I don't think I've noticed you. If you've been in here before, forgive me. Oh, okay. I know who you are, Carla. We're going to send you... I got to get the email of the pastor's daughter. You were asking about something to wear during the... War of Northern Aggression dance. and I have some, one of the seamstresses here is saying that they have plenty of outfits. We just need to get your measurements. And what is that, what the term is? That's not, I shouldn't be saying that to a young lady. The ladies here at the church need to get your size, you know. And I offered to model for them, but I doubt you're built like me. And we could get you a dress. Now, the men's uniforms are, we don't have any men's uniforms, but what we usually recommend the men to do is they usually dress like the paw on Little House on the Prairie if they don't have a Confederate or Northern uniform. Boots, suspenders, you know, a floppy hat, a gingham shirt, is that the proper term, or plaid shirt. You know, we don't all, it's funny, most of the guys here, I don't know if anyone here that dresses up as a soldier, we dress up as just regular folk. The men are given, we will supply white gloves. There will be a class before the dance. I'm glad you checked in, Carla. Before the Civil War era dance, it hurts me to say Civil War, War of Federal Aggression dance, there'll be lessons. It'll be in the parking lot. It'll be outside. It'll be lighted. And we have a professional dance instructor and caller, because if you're not familiar with it, it's like square dancing, but more formal. And they're fun dances, fun little games, dances like the lone wolf dance, where each dance you take out a male. There's only one dude left at the end. Very, very historical. We did the dances at a history day here, and it was the number one thing that the museum had. They asked us to come back, and we said, well, can we do the dancing again? I said, oh, no, this next one's going to be the 30s. And we're like, well, then why are you inviting us back? You know, you want us to open a soup kitchen? Because, you know, each time they do, like, a historical period of time.
They're up in Vietnam.
What?
No, the 60s.
So they were doing the 1960s the last time at the history? Yeah, I don't remember. Well, the last one was the 1940s, which was kind of cool because they had, like, Victory Gardens and stuff like that. But the dancing is fun. I don't dance just because my cane gets in the way. Lou doesn't dance because he's scared to death of...
I am going to get him.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get Lou to dance. I think he would be great at it. He likes martial arts. Just look at dancing with these women as martial arts. You're sparring with them. He's getting this really good grin on his face. I love it. We tried to get Stacy to dance last year, but she got a migraine headache and didn't.
Maybe I can get a migraine headache.
No, you're not getting a migraine headache, Lou. He's like, maybe I can get a migraine headache. But I'm glad you're listening, because yeah, what we're gonna do is have her name is Joyce. Pastor told me today we'll give her your email. That makes sense. Yeah, we'll give her your email when we see her. She's doing piano lessons down in the church. She's not down there today. But if Stacy was in here, we could have her run over there and do it. And then that way we can, you know, she'll contact you from the church at Kauia. She's usually like Panda Bear or something, might be her online email name. But I'll make sure she puts in the title that's about the dance so that you'll be able to get a dress. I looked in there. There's a whole rack of ladies' dresses in there.
And we can throw something.
Yeah, and these women are amazing with needle and thread. It's a shame they don't...
A staple gun?
Huh? Are you serious? You use staple? Yeah, well, it's just going to last for one night, right?
Yep.
And we set up some lights. We have a big sound system that we take out, you know, a big old ghetto blaster with an amplifier. Isn't that what it is? Actually, it's weird. It's like a keg or a flask, an old wooden keg that's got a sound system in it, and that fits the motif, you know, and they throw CDs in it instead of...
I'm still thinking of that joke you said with the ghetto blaster.
What about the ghetto blaster?
Ghetto blaster,
and what did I say? Oh, Lou, because I said ghetto blaster the other day. Lou, afterwards, he goes, what's a ghetto blaster? Because, you know, he's 14. He's never seen one. And I go, oh, it's a 12-gauge. He didn't know what a ghetto blaster was, and, of course, me being a smart aleck. But you know what a ghetto blaster is now, right, Lou?
Yeah.
He's still laughing at that joke. I can't remember where we were or something. Like, hey, look at that guy's ghetto blaster. You're like, what's that? 12-gauge. But that'll be good. I may, you know, I'll try and find some, like, you know, Ma and Pa kettle clothes or something for Stacy and I to wear. You know, I've got, I don't know if I have any old-fashioned suspenders. I've got modern tactical suspenders. I'll be out there dancing in my LBE, my load-bearing equipment. It would be good and do that. But, yeah, the dance is going to be a hoot nanny, as they say. I wish we had the time, because we know the pastor plays mandolin, ukulele, all that kind of stuff. So if we can get like two or three other guys, you know, one I could play the jug. You know, you blow on the jug, and Luke could play the washboard. We get Stacy out there on the one string bass on a wash tub. We could do all our own music, and it's usually war tunes or tunes of you know, of that period. In fact, it's all that it is. We don't play anything modern. We had one kid one day. I don't know if you were here. I don't know if you came to that one, Deb. Guy came dressed as Michael Jackson with one glove. He just showed up out of nowhere. He was the friends of somebody who lived on the road here, some city feller, and he shows up with the hat and the glove, and we're just like, no, you need to leave. You don't get to dance if you're not a member of the conference. If you didn't come to the conference, yeah. So you got to attend the conference to dance. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get Minuteman out there to do some, you know, War of Northern Aggression period, like breakdancing or something. I don't know if he's listening. I think he left. I think he said he left. But he's still in the room. So he's keeping it on there so the listening hours goes up. But Carla, I'm glad you're listening. I know that usually you guys are pod people. Isn't that right, Carla? You guys usually listen. Your dad downloads it. And I had another question. Somebody asked me today, because you know how we're always trying to get people to move up here. What is it that your father does? I mean, I know he's an international man of mystery. But I'm not sure what your dad, Chuck, does. I've never even asked him. So if he's sitting next to you, ask him if it's okay to tell me what he does for a living in the chat room. And unless, of course, he's like, you know, an international hitman or something.
He's in that business, too.
Yeah, Lou's like, he's in that business, too. When Lou the other day asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up, and he said an assassin. And I was like, oh, you know, you said character assassin. I go, oh, you want to work for the media? And he goes, yeah. Media, okay, never mind. You wanted to be a yellow journalist. But the dance is some people, that's, they come for the dance. I know a lot of the young girls do, and we're running out of young girls. We have a lot of young men and not a whole lot of, oh. Well, first I read it wrong. He's a medical doctor. Dang, we need him. Get him over here. Medical coder. We can use that, too. We need people who can understand some of those terms. Anything with the word medical in it, we can use, especially for our cert training stuff. You know, we can always use people. My hope here, Carla, is that I can get you guys up here and lure you guys to move in here. I know. I'm being upfront about it, though. I would love I'd love you guys to come up here, check out some of the homes that are up here and stuff, and just fall in love with the place like I did and stay here. Lou already works for the media. Laugh out loud, Olima says. Yeah, he's an engineer in the media. He's helping the big media, the alternative media push. And to be honest with you, there's a good point here. I couldn't do this without Lou. I mean, I could. It wouldn't sound as cool, and it wouldn't be up all the time. Those of you that were listening to us a long time ago, you'd know that I had so many problems keeping us up on the air. I don't want to listen to an old show. I listen to the shows the next day just to see how many times I go on the air or go like I said, like, or, but I don't want to hear old shows. I don't want to see the genesis. I don't want to see the evolution of Dutch Jones. Carla's saying, nothing special. We don't use doctors. We do the whole natural health thing. I see a mixture of that. Right now, I'm taking about 9 pills that are given to me by the VA and about 4 that are, what's the word, herbal, to deal with my ailments. I don't want to make anybody feel sorry for me, but I'm a wreck. And they keep me alive. I take 9 pills twice a day to keep moving. Most of those are pain management, and I'm trying to get out of that. I just started taking glucosamine, which is a non-narcotic pill. I take diabetes pills, I take blood pressure pills, I take heart pills. What other kind of pills am I taking, Lee?
Horse pills.
Horse pills, so I don't turn into a horse. But now I'm taking some herbal supplements, lutein for my eye, my left eye. I'm losing sight in my left eye because of macular degeneration. Diabetes is definitely curable. I just need to stop eating popsicles every day. Actually, I've cut out sodas mostly. I have them as a luxury. I'm working on my diet. In fact, the pastor and I were talking today. I'm going to go to an herbalist down in Visalia. And I'm going to come up with some dietary stuff. I'm going to try and this is things you don't want to talk about around the dinner hour. But I'm going to go for an entire colon blow. I just want to clean out my system, start from scratch, and see what I can do. Because, you know, I read those things about, like, John Wayne when he died, and they did an autopsy. He had, like, a cow inside of him. You know, it's like, well, let's be realistic. It was more like a calf. He had, like, a 25-pound calf in him. I don't want to be that guy. My whole life I've eaten beef, and, you know, you're supposed to eat a few ounces of red meat, you know, a week. I'm eating, you know, so I stopped doing that. I'm eating white meat, tuna fish, you know, so I get my mercury. Trying to be as healthy as I can. Working on it, you know, using different things. I don't have a lack of people giving me advice, let's put it that way. But I've got people that are vegetarians that won't go to the doctor, and they're so sick they can't leave the house. And then I've got my old buddies who are like, you know, eat a 14-ounce steak every day, and, you know, their coronary system is, you know, it looks like clay. So it's like I got both. And then I've got some people like my pastor who's in health. He's, I think he's 50 years old. But in, I don't mean to give up his age, but the guy's in great shape. I mean, I watch him run around here like it's nothing. And I figure that's the guy I want to emulate. So I asked him today, what is it you do? And he says he goes to an herbalist and a dietitian, and he tries to eat healthy, and he tries to do what he can. Says if we have a major problem, we go see a natural doctor. I have a friend, two friends actually, that I grew up with that became holistic doctors. I'm not sure if that's what that is. I know they don't get into all the chemistry and everything, and they look for natural reasons and biological and environmental reasons for why people have illnesses. And I'm not mocking it. I honestly don't have enough understanding of it to mock it, which I know usually doesn't keep me from mocking some things. But I have a little understanding of Islam, and I like to mock it. So, but the attitude up here is, you know, everybody's got to be in shape. We have a duty to be healthy Christian soldiers, both for the things that need to be done around here at the church and for the holy cause of liberty. So it's time for me to get off my butt and stop calling it in and do more stuff. And I've been doing good. I'm down to about 230 pounds now. I'm 5'8", 5'7", depending on what shoes I'm wearing. And I've shrunk because I took some discs out of my spine. And I did weigh 315 when I came here. And the pastor gave a sermon. It was a second or third sermon, and I don't know if it was about me. I need to ask him. But he said, God does not want flabby Christians. So that inspired me to at least lose the, you know, 70, 80 pounds that I've lost so far. But the problem was, once I started getting more active, I started injuring things. It was like an uphill thing. Knees, elbows, shoulders, my spine, again. And it's just, but we just keep doing it. Like today, you know, the pastor was concerned about my health. He came over to talk to me and about other things and asked how I was doing. And I told him, you know, what the situation was and another setback. But I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. I'm trying to do everything that I can to keep moving forward. Now, Carla's saying, I'm not sure, because holistics tend to try to mix in New Age stuff. It's one of those things to be careful about, like with anything. Yeah, see, that's why I said I don't really have an opinion on it. I know the one friend I went to school with is now a Buddhist, and he's a doctor out in Ohio or something. Iowa. One of those Iowa states. One of those states in the Middle East. Not the Middle East. And the other one was a Mormon guy. I know Kevin, who's now in the same town that they filmed Goonies in. I can't remember, Astoria, Oregon, or Washington, or whatever. But he became a holistic doctor, and I was really surprised. I mean, he helped me out with some stuff, some of the stuff seemed to work. Others of it, I was like, just don't buy it. But I do believe that a lot of these natural cures are not natural; they're God-made. It's not Mother Nature putting those plants in the ground. It's not Mother Nature who designed our bodies to live in a balance. It was God. So there is nothing unbiblical about seeking out these so-called natural, you know, cures and maintenance, mostly maintenance. I mean, you wouldn't get to the point I am if I had done the maintenance stuff. And it's not just exercise and eating healthy. There are just some chemicals that don't belong in our body that are out there. And the shortcuts to mercury, yeah, we don't need to have mercury or acid in our body, as Lou is saying. What is that, chromium picolate? From the Chinese, if I'm saying that right. I hope I didn't just swear in Latin. Iocane powder is not a real poison, we found out. We looked it up, remember? I thought it was, and it's not. But I wouldn't get to this point if I had been living, you know, a balanced life, anything in balance. I mean, you've got your anomalies. You've got people that, you know, like, it just whirlings in my head again. There are some people that have to take insulin. I have type 2 diabetes. Mine is, as of now, is still diet controlled. And I can definitely see it. If I drink a Coca-Cola, my sugar shoots up, you know, like the stock market after a good war. And I'll take my a metformin, or however you pronounce it. It's an oral medicine, and it'll go down.
So just give him all that Coke.
Lou wants to drink all the Coke. When you're young, you can handle it. You know, you can handle it. But now that I'm going to be, what, 45? I was born in 1966. I think I'm going to be 45 coming up in February. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I was pretty young when I was born, so I'm not too sure of the date. But here I am, over half my life done, half my tank empty, and it's like all of it's empty. And the Lord doesn't want us to be this way. We have to be good soldiers. We have to be good fighters. And the only way we're going to do that is to stay in shape. But most of America is like me, you know, couch potatoes. Even though I don't have TV, even though I do get exercise around here, I work half a day and I'm beat. Whereas the other guys, they can work a whole day and it's like nothing. So I've been looking for all kinds of alternatives and things that are wise. So hopefully this going to this dietitian and this herbalist will be something that's good. She spoke at our conference a couple of years ago, and I was kind of like, you know who it is, that black lady?
Huh?
I forgot her name. I forget her name. Jackson? Huh?
Shirley Q.
No, it wasn't Shirley Q. Shirley Q. Licker, the herbalist. Yeah. We're going to play that again sometime. The one on the Constitution at Kmart. That was a funny one. From Shirley Q. Licker. Wow, we're coming up on the break here. Maybe we could find that over the break. Maybe you could find the Shirley Q. Licker, and we could play that in the last half hour to inspire people. I don't know. It's just something for comedy. But yeah, this last half hour has been mostly me talking about why I'm fat. But not just to mock me or ridicule me, but to show you guys that there's hope. I was fatter, now I'm less fat, and it's a continued road. No matter what repercussions I feel because of things I did or things I didn't do, I still keep moving forward. And so I'm glad you're in there, Carla. We'll be back after the break. Don't know what we're going to talk about. I've got this Dell computer catalog in front of me. Maybe I'll just read out of it. We'll be back after the break.
Soon he'd fall in this
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
Is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
We got pain.
Yes. We're back. During the break, I was talking with the people over on Facebook, and they're talking more. They're a little disappointed that the burn the Quran day is not going to go on. So go ahead and do it anyway. You know, take your Quran, stick it in the barbecue in your backyard, videotape it, put it on YouTube. See how many American soldiers get killed because of it. I think it's such a farce. But somebody commented, said, well, since we can't do that, can we do? And they had a couple ideas. I got this whim. What I need to do, we need to find a janitorial service that will somehow figure out a way that we can put a sticker of Muhammad on a urinal cake, and we could sell Muhammad's image on urinal cakes, and we could get our truck driving friends to spread them across America and throw them in all the urinals. So people, and I know it's kind of vulgar, and I apologize for the vulgarity of it, but I think it would send a message. So if any of you guys know anybody out there that would do that, or we could just go buy the urinal cakes ourselves and just print up some stickers of Muhammad. Because that's two things. You're not supposed to present an image of Muhammad, and to put him in a toilet would be hilarious. You know, I was going to say just put the sticker on the back of the toilet, but who wants to touch that? So just do the urinal cake thing. We found out Stacy's looking for something. We're still living out of boxes. Have been for 2 years now, and we moved all of her stuff in. Hopefully she's looking for my boots. I can't find any of my boots after we moved 300 feet to the south. I don't know where any of my boots are. I've been wearing sandals for the entire summer, which is okay because it's kind of nice, but I found one boot, one desert boot. So that would be good. Lewis found this for us. Hopefully the audio will be good, and this is just done in jest, just something to be funny about. I'm not meaning to offend anyone, but I just love the comedian that does this. It's a puppet, a little hand puppet that sits on a couch, and if you want to see it, you can go to YouTube and you can gargle Shirley Q. Liquor. Goggle it. Goggle Shirley Q. Liquor. And you can find it. And what we'll do is we're just going to play it here. I'm just going to shut up.
How you doing? This here is Shirley Q, honey. Ooh, I'm so aggravated. You know, I just got back from Kmart. I had to run down there and get me some toilet paper. And, you know, we go through a 9-roll a day over here with 19 kids. Good. Like, plus company, shoes. I had to get me some toilet paper. I was all out of Pepsi-Cola. I had to get me some spray for my house for them roaches they got crawling up in there. I had to get me some X-Lax. Well, I goes for Correct-All because that's more for a lady. What else? I had to get denture adhesives. and some pickles. They got them new big pickles now for putting on your hamburger. Them is good. Ooh, them taste good. You put your mayonnaise on right on top of it. They go up in there. And mustards. Anyway, what I said, in the Kmart, the line was long. Long line. They didn't have but one girl up there checking. She just must have been a trainee. You could tell she didn't know what she was doing. With her blank stare and her bad attitude. Sitting there just very slowly. You could tell she was trying to intimidate her customer because she would take one can, slide it over that thing, and it would beep, and then she set it down. And then she was just trying to prove a point that she was going to take her time and that nobody was going to mess with her or force her to do nothing fast. My blood was just boiling over. I have high blood anyway, and I could just feel my face flushing. Couldn't see it, but I could feel it. Finally, I got up there, and I said, girl, I said, you better light a fire under your ass. I said, you going to put this place out of business. I said, where's your manager at? She said she was the manager. I said, excuse me. She said, according to the Constitution of Kmart, when the manager not in the building, I automatically becomes the manager. So she going to pull a constitutional amendment on me. And hell, I didn't know Kmart was that organized. You never know it. Oh, well, I guess I just might as well go home and enjoy my toiletries. That's all you can do. You can't do that. Tell your mom and them I need to go shopping with her next week. Next week, we're going to Walmart. All right. Bye, honey.
Okay. I was reading the stuff in the chat room. I'm surprised nobody commented on that. I always found that to be very entertaining. I love Shirley Q. Liquor. Are we up?
Yeah.
We back? Okay, we're back. One thing that I did want to point out is a reminder to people that are asking questions, because there's a side discussion that doesn't need to be on the air, but our church is not a 501c3 church. We are not a 501c3 church. We do not ask Caesar for permission to preach the gospel. Many of pastors have come out of this church, been raised up and gone out. We've had several other churches started with people leaving this church. People have joined other churches. And it's good that we ask these kind of questions about churches, that we try and figure out where they're doctrinally standing. The discussion in the side room is, can someone who is divorced ever preach in a church? There is a biblical doctrine of divorce. And Christians all day, oh, you can't do that, which is funny because they're lenient on everything else. They let sodomites come into church. They do all this other stuff. But for some reason, a lot of churches are like, oh, divorced people can't preach. You know, they let blue mohawked faggots preach from the pulpit. But there is a biblical doctrine of divorce. If one of the spouses no longer cherishes and obeys and honors, and somebody cheats, you know, and you've done counseling over and over again, you've done everything you can, and you still end up, I'm divorced. I'm not happy to say that. I mean, I'm just as, you know, I'd feel just as bad about saying that I was responsible for an abortion as I am saying a divorce. But the woman I was married to was not a godly woman or a godly wife. She claimed to be when I married her, which is funny because I was an atheist. And she married me anyway, which was, she was going against her own doctrines, marrying, you know, an atheist. And then when I became a Christian and saw the truth about what a Christian should be living like and started to demand that our family be that way, i.e. the man be in charge, you know, those types of things, she completely rebelled against it and ruined our marriage. I helped some, I'm not going to lie. But just because, you know, your divorce doesn't mean that it was a sinful divorce. A husband's wailing on a wife and kids and beating on them, you darn tootin' they can get a divorce from that man. I mean, the Lord doesn't want you to suffer in silence. It's ridiculous that so many of the 501c3 churches will enforce that misdoctrine, but yet allow sodomites to preach from the pulpit, allow sodomites to get married in their church. It's weird. It's weird to me. So no, we're a non-501c3 church. We predate Protestant, Catholic. If you ask us, are you Armenian or Calvin? We're neither. We're just an interdenominational church. Like I said, you're going to find, you come in the conference, there's going to be Mormons. We do differ with them, with Mormons doctrinally on a lot of things. But we're not going to chase them off. We'll have Nazarenes. We'll have Pentecostals. We'll have not so many Mennonites show up. we don't have Mennonites, probably because they're really passive. And we're not. Yeah, show up in their wagons. No, those are Quakers. Yeah, we get a little Quakers from Ohio or anything. We're bold here. We're very bold. Earlier today we were talking about we're going to enter the local Christmas parade at the local. There's about 40 miles away is a major city, like 110,000 people, called Visalia. Visalia, as it says when you call information. When you say Visalia. Yeah. And we're going to enter the Christmas parade. And today we're thinking, we're going to do from the Kiwia Militia, the church at Kiwia, and we're thinking, let's do like Washington crossing the Delaware. We'll do a big old float like that, and we'll have like our pastor dressed up as George Washington. And there were women on that boat, so there can be women in the float. Yeah, and we could be rowing. Or we could do, Valley Forge or something along those lines. Carla's saying, I didn't know there were any Quakers left. Actually, they are, but the government's going after them. Seizing their land, trying to seize their kids because they don't have indoor plumbing, all kinds of stuff. I've done a show on that in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and parts of Ohio. We were talking about doing the float. And then up here, the school, the local public cesspool, goes first through eighth grade, and then they ship them off somewhere else to Woodlake. But they have a carnival, a fall carnival. You know, I want to call it a Halloween carnival because, you know, that would mean they're aligning with the pagans, too, and they can't do that either, which is funny to me. So they have a winter carnival, a fall, and a spring, you know. And they allow people to, like, donate items to be raffled off to raise money for, like, the eighth grade trip to San Francisco to see Alcatraz and Golden Gate Bridge and all that. And the pastor asked me today, he says, could you put together something from the Kiwia Militia that we could raffle off there? Because his daughter raffles off free piano lessons. Joyce does piano lessons in the community, so she did, you know, donated piano lessons. And the money all goes to the school. So at first we thought, well, we could do like a home security assessment done by the pastor in Dutch. Where we go over, you know, say it's a $300 value, where we come and spend 8 hours with you and look around your house and you know, and come up with, you know, what you can do and then disaster preparedness and that kind of stuff. And what are you looking for?
Oh,
same thing. You're not going to find it in here. We already went through everything in here, and I didn't see anything that looked like that in here.
I'll have to go look again.
Okay. And, send them all you can. And then we thought, well, you know, that might be a little harsh. People aren't going to want to do it. So what we're going to do is put together a 3-day survival pack and then have, like, one of the ladies etch on it, courtesy of the Kiwia Militia, and have, like, a 3-day survival pack for them and raffle that off. And we could... you know, we'll prime the pump a little bit. We'll buy raffle tickets too, but I'd like to see what the community is going to do. Things are changing. We're hearing some weird rumors and stuff, and people are saying that we're responsible for things we weren't responsible for. And there are people that thoroughly hate us in the community, and then there are other people that want to come here but are afraid of being vilified for coming up here. And that's too bad. Just too bad. We do whatever the Lord tells us to do, and if that's going to offend people here, fine. You know, it's like, what did they say about Jesus? He wasn't listened to in Nazareth. He had to move elsewhere. And I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying sometimes prophets and good doers aren't welcome in their own homeland. So, you know, that's why I do the radio show. I have thousands of people who listen to this radio show, but if I were to go down and rent the community building, I'd have like 5 of my friends show up. And that'd probably be it. Nobody would want to hear what we were doing. But we don't have any... Yeah, somebody said... We're talking about the Quakers again in there. Quakers are out there. The Amish are out there. Quakers, Shakers. There's a few Luddites still around. Although, I don't know. I don't know how the Luddites are surviving. But the government's going after all these different sects, SECTS, and doing what they can to victimize them and bring them into play. Like here, they're always trying to tax us and enforce building codes here, and we just keep telling them, you do not have the jurisdiction. And they get escorted off the property. They never come back with the sheriff because I think the sheriff's given up. I really do. I think the sheriff just says, oh, you know what? We tried to talk to him. It's really a no-win situation. But they're holding a rally up there and they don't have permits. And I saw them the other day. It looked like they were putting in a septic system and they don't have a permit. Well, there's really nothing we can do because we sent... So they always send... Well, whoever the new guy is, whoever the new building enforcement guy shows up. His name was Daniel Boone. A guy named Daniel Boone comes up and gives me his business card, and I'm like, well, you have no jurisdiction here. What? This is the Lord's property. This is an embassy of Jesus Christ. You have no jurisdiction here. Yeah, well, if you guys would just get a permit. If we get one permit, then we grant you jurisdiction, and we could never do that. if you read through that big thing, he was carrying a big file. If you read through that file, you'll see that our answer has been the same since 1964. You have no jurisdiction here. It was funny when we talked about subdividing our land and selling about 10 acres of it. The county was really happy because it would put those homes back on the tax roll. Because right now, they're tax immune. I always get this wrong. They're not tax exempt. It's not a grant from the county government that we don't have to pay taxes, or the state that we don't have to pay taxes. They're tax immune by God. And we don't pay taxes on our buildings. And then we have neighbors, they'll say things like, oh yeah, you guys don't want to pay for anything, but you want all the benefits. You'll call the fire department, you'll do all this. I said, actually, no, we wouldn't. We take care of our own stuff. We did call an ambulance for a lady who was not a church member who fell and broke her hip. Mrs. King. But she wasn't a church member, so, okay, you know, an ambulance. You know, we asked her what she wanted to do. She said she wanted an ambulance. And they go, what's the address? I go, we don't have an address. We don't number our buildings. I said, it's the church on North Fork. There's no other church. Drive 3.5 miles on the left. You're going to see a little church. There'll be a white pudgy guy out front in the road waving you in. That'll be me. And I go, we've already got 2 EMTs on her, and we better stabilize. You guys just need to transport her up here. She has a broken hip. And they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then they show up with one guy on a fire truck. I'm like, we called an ambulance. The nearest ambulance is 45 minutes away because ours is out on a call. And now we don't even have an ambulance. So what's the point in paying for services you're not going to have anyway? And they go, well, you'll call 911 if you guys have any problems. Actually, no, we don't. We don't. I call 1911. I'm just kidding. I don't have a 1911 Colt. I wish I did, but I don't. Yeah, we call dot 45 or dot 308 or dot 762x54. But fortunately, people are pretty smart. They're not dumb enough. We've had a few drunks come on here and burn donuts in our football field. And, you know, they usually leave knowing the error of their ways, and they never come back. You know, and we're not hypocrites about it. We're looking for our own fire truck. We don't want to have to count on these dweebies from the state. I used to be one of those dweebies from the state, so I can say that. I went through the CDF Fire Academy, and then I worked for municipalities and stuff. I don't want to depend on some guy who put himself through 8 weeks of community college, night school, to defend my house when I can do it perfectly fine. Because I know how they triage stuff, how they cut things off and just say, you know what, you're not going to be able to save that house. We're going to move on to the expensive house down the road. Because they do that. Look what's happening in Boulder, Colorado right now. Right now in Boulder, Colorado, houses are being destroyed in the city because of triage. And because of poor planning by the people who live there. Especially, there's a lot of liberals. A lot of liberals in Boulder, Colorado. You know, it's like everybody looks like the Grateful Dead walking around there. I never liked it very much. I went there for a few concerts as a kid because some punk shows would go there at the University of Colorado. But I'm honestly surprised that we're the exception, that more churches aren't flexing their muscle the way we are. Robin Wright, who recently died, who was not Robin Wright the actress, but Robin Wright the pastor, who was in, if you just look up Robin Wright, WRIGHT on YouTube, and a lot of his teachings that you see on there were videotaped in our church, where he's really pushing the non-corporate church. And we are pushing it too. We only know of a handful of them across the country that are willing to talk to us. But I know they're everywhere, because everywhere that people are meeting in a home, that's a non-corporate church. Everywhere that people are meeting in parks, that's a non-corporate church. But they think for some reason, as soon as they get a building, they have to go to Caesar and get a license. And you don't. You do not have to do that. The church that I was saved in was non-corporate, and then it got its incorporation. It lasted a year to the day. And then it folded because of infighting and how money should be spent and all those typical earthly things that ruin a body of people. And the state, they've just accepted it. We have a cemetery and we never went and got a permit or anything. We found this law in California that if you have 3 people buried on your property, it's like de facto a cemetery. So what the church did, the local cemetery and dug up 3 people that were related to people here, that passed church members that passed away, and they buried them over here. They got the proper exhumation rules and everything, and then they went and just said, hey, we're a cemetery now. And it was just a miracle. The people in the county stamped all the paperwork and said, oh yeah, you're a cemetery. Didn't give us permits or anything, but just didn't, you know, because we've had people complain. There are people that live up on the hill behind us and like, they're burying people down there. which is weird because it doesn't hurt the property values. It's like putting a park in or something. It's like a good thing. I mean, sure, it may creep some of the ill-informed people out, but a cemetery is a good thing. Somebody's in there. Carla's in there talking about no marriage license. We don't do marriage licenses here. Stacy, my lovely wife, who's standing next to me, who's having a paperwork nightmare because she can't find her pay stubs for June for something she needs to do for work. So pray for her to find this June pay stub, please. We didn't get a license. We did get a license. We got a license from our church, it's on our wall. The jurisdiction is really with the father of the bride and the father of the groom, mostly the bride. And I got her father's permission to marry her, and we decided to do it in the church, and the church is like, sure, we'll do it. It's all about jurisdiction. And the minute you give that up, it's really hard to get back. Because what they'll do is they'll take away our rights, repackage them as privileges, and then sell them to us. Mm-hmm. The minute you get, and then getting them back, because this church wasn't always a non-501c3. They fought back and forth, and it was a 501c3 at one time. And then when they realized they were in their ways, they changed it, and a lot of people left saying the church wouldn't last a year. And as far as I know, most of those people didn't go start churches or anything that lasted either. Church is still here. Granted, we're only 30 to 50 people. I know that. Not going to lie about our numbers, but we're still preaching the gospel. We're still reaching out. Our conference this year is going to be the biggest one ever, 280 people. And that's only because we capped it at 280. I know it would have been over 350. I know it. I know that the spontaneous people showing up, it would have been far more. God blesses those churches that do that. Look at Schuller. Look at the big Crystal Cathedral. They're having financial problems. Look at all these big 501c3 churches across the country that are hurting because their pews aren't filled. And what do? They turn to gimmicks to fill the pews. Rather than preaching the untruncated, unperverted gospel, they have to tickle their ears to get them in there because they got to pay the bills now because they've decided to go all corporate. Then you get all these, 40 days of purpose and all that garbage. People that make a living just going around with gimmicks. Hey, we can save your church. We can have a recruiting thing, and we guarantee you that your church is going to get 10% more people that'll be putting money in that tray. It's not what it's about. I can tell you right now, if the people of this church ran out of money, we'd still be meeting in a field somewhere. Not that we would lose the building because they own it, but the lights would be off, okay? So we couldn't pay the electric bill. The lights would be off. We'd light candles. We would still have church. We probably would just meet out in the field because it's beautiful out here sometimes, most of the time. In the summertime, it'd be a little... We'd all go sit in the river and do it. We'd get baptized every Sunday. Stay cool. A church isn't a building. A church isn't a license. A church isn't the pastor, even. A church is the presence of the Lord among a group of people corporately worshiping, and we are directed to corporately worship with a small c. Lord is always... what did Jesus do when he was a kid? Every day he went to the temple, as was the custom of the day. So, we're called to do that. We're to go. So all you cowboys, lone wolves out there that go, oh, well, I'm my own church. You're disobeying the gospel when you do that. You're disobeying the Lord when you do that. We're supposed to get together, raise our voices to the Lord and worship. We're supposed to take turns teaching. I'm not talking about the Jehovah's Witness way. You are supposed to have a pastor if you can afford one. Because, he should be paid. But if not, let somebody rise up and lead. I'm not smart enough to do it. I do little Sunday schools here and there, and I teach from time to time. They grant me pulpit time. But I could never, honestly say I would want to be... I'd like to be a preacher, but I don't think I'm fit to be one. Not because I was divorced or anything, but just because I don't put the time and dedication into studying the Scripture as much as I should. But Lou, on the other hand, who gets the Scripture, understands it and stuff, who knows? In his future, maybe he'll be a pastor. So does that mean he has to go to Caesar and say, I'd like to be a pastor? Can I get a degree from a college first and then get a 501c3 and a business license and do this? No, he should be able to go to a field and pray for followers. And if the Lord sends him, so be it. And nothing bothers me more than people who donate to the church and then ask for an accounting of what they've donated at the end of the year so they can deduct it on their taxes. Oh, I love that. People have donated things to me. They're like, hey, here's a printer. I'd really like you to have it. Can I get a receipt for that? Why do you want a receipt for that? I'm going to take that off of my taxes. Why? You're giving it to the church. You're donating to the church for church efforts. Why would you want... You do realize that you're harming that blessing by asking for a reward for it in an earthly manner like that. You don't give something hoping to get something. especially to a church or a gospel effort. It's like I've had people donate money to us and go, could I get a receipt for that? And I'm like, please take your money back. First, I try to educate them, try to educate them and tell them, you know, hey, we're not a 501c3. And there's nothing wrong with regular, if you want to open up a men's shelter and do a 501c3, I have no problem with that. But if you want to call yourself an actual church, if you want to open up a widows and orphans fund and get a 501c3 to protect yourself from being sued and stuff, that's fine. Not all 501c3s are evil, but they're evil when it comes to preaching specifically the gospel in a church situation. If you want to get a 501c3 for your car club, no problem. I belong to a four-wheel drive / militia club, and we got a 501c3 because we had a guy who went out and totally destroyed his Humvee. And he threatened to sue us, and even though we had him sign a waiver, and we found out that we were opening all of ourselves up to being sued, even though so we changed some things, but the group went 501c3, and we got insurance, and we protected ourselves. That's what happens when you got weasels in the world. And we showed this guy a video of what the trip had been like the month before, how it tears things off of vehicles, and you're going to ruin your vehicle. He destroyed his vehicle, busted a CV joint and everything. It was out at Sledgehammer Trail out in Johnson Valley in Southern California. And you got to do stuff like that sometimes to protect yourself. But if you're a church, I don't see how you can please God and go to Caesar to ask for permission to preach the gospel. Because once you do that, they're going to tell you what you can and can't preach. And when all these hate laws come down, and they will, all these hate laws that we're seeing come down, hate speech laws, pastors are going to get nailed for them. Our pastor, no, because he's not in league with them. He hasn't given them jurisdiction. That doesn't mean they won't come in and kick in the doors and kill us all because, you know, our pastor's talking about sodomite marriage or something. But there are preachers out there already that won't touch these issues. They get nervous when people ask them to make a comment about politics and who should we vote for, Pastor? Oh, no, I can't talk about that. I'll lose my 501c3 status. If you go to a 501c3 church right now, you need to educate yourself on this issue. Don't just trust me. Contact our pastor. You know, you can do it through the website, dutchjones.tk. dutchjones.tk. And you can educate them. And if they don't want to hear it, you need to walk away from that church. Does that mean that people don't get saved in those churches? No. Does that mean that good things don't happen in those churches? No. It just means that they will not reach the fulfillment of the Lord's plan for them. Period. So all you Calvary Chapel, Vineyard people, you got to realize this stuff. And if you can't find a good church, make a good church. Start meeting in your house. The God that we worship, Jesus Christ, will honor you in that, and he will give you understanding so that you can teach it. Well, folks, this ends today. We got one more day tomorrow. I can't believe I made it through 2 hours. I'm actually kind of beat and tired, and I still got something else to do tonight. I want to thank you for listening. Make sure you go to dutchjones.tk. Check out the donations there. Thank you to whoever donated the $50. Did we ever find out who it was? Oh, Batfag donated it. Thank you, Batfag. I know you're going to listen on the pod download, so thank you, Batfag. Thank you to the folks at Liberty Tree Radio for giving us the honor of doing this. When we raise enough money, we're going to send more money. Or you can go to libertytreeradio.4mg.com, libertytreeradio.4mg.com, and donate directly there. And just tell them that it's for Dutchie. I'm doing this for Dutchie. And that way they'll know it'll cover the expenses because they deserve to be paid for what they do over there too in their ministry. I consider it a ministry. They may not, but I consider what they're doing a ministry because it is the holy cause of liberty. And just keep tuning in. Keep checking us out. And remember that the sword is heavy. The battle is hard. And what, folks? The victory belongs to the Lord alone. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Amen.